also have Brian Medeiros is coming and Darwin.
Yeah, but that's it for September. Yeah. That's our September schedule at this point. That's all I can handle right now. Okay. Okay, I'm not going to give you any more intro because I know nothing else.
Has anybody been to South America? Peru? Ecuador?
No.
Colombia?
No.
Nice places to visit. I've been to them all. But Peru was my most enjoyable, partially because of the people that I went with, which were mostly, were all Canadian. Get going. Too loud for anybody? We started in Vancouver, flew to Toronto. People asked, why would you go to Toronto to go to Lima? Lima is about the same place as Belleville, Ontario, when you go down. The coastline slopes away. So from then we took a 9-hour flight to Lima, arriving late at night. When your bird are starting at 5:30 in the morning, the next morning it wasn't a lot of sleep. Peru is similar to Quebec in size and compares to Canada with 32.5 million. Peru is bordered Ecuador in the north, Colombia, Brazil, Bolivia, and Chile. The tour was through Avocet Tours, which is run by a fellow named Chris Charlesworth out of Kelowna, BC, and the logistics in Peru were handled by Green Tours. There was a few different segments to the tour. The day after we arrived, we went on a bus tour, this birding bus tour, down south of Lima. And then we went on what they call an endemics tour, which was 13 days. Then after that, we flew to Iquitos, which is in the Amazon, and we did 4 days in the Amazon. And then after flying back the day before we flew out, we did a tour north of Lima. And Lima's basically surrounded by desert. Up both coasts, it rains very, very little. And we had fairly nice digs to stay in. This was our hotel while we were in Lima. This is us getting ready just as the sun's coming up.
We're all getting ready here. We've seen some West Peruvian ducks.
What I'm hoping to impart is what it would be like to be on a trip like this. It didn't take us long to start seeing some Peruvian birds. So on our bus tour, we were going down to a little fishing village called Pucasana, and then further on to Puerto Viejo, which is basically a resort town. It's a beach area. Google Maps is terrific at bringing these nice... So when we were in Pucasana, we had a sea lookout looking for penguins, and there was also an active tern breeding colony, and then on to
for Humboldt penguins.
And this is what we were looking out onto, and yes, we did see some. They weren't really that close unless you were using a scope. And other birds there were cormorant and booby. This was the tern breeding, and this is one of the to me, the most beautiful tern there is that I've ever seen. But before that, most endemic, which means that it's only found in that particular country. Mm-hmm. So this bird you can only find in Peru. And they always seem to be just brown, meaning, you know, very nondescript birds. But for us birders, this is the stuff you want a little tick after you travel all the way to Peru. There's the tern we were looking at. Gorgeous bird. One bird there. There were some gulls around. I wasn't quite sure whether they were breeding there or waiting for an errant parent to leave at the wrong time so they could pick off a chick. So after that, we got in our little van and boogied down to the harbor. Very brightly colored boats there. The tide was out at this time. It's another bird we... similar to the brown pelican that you find down the coast. Then after that, we headed down to Puerto Viejo, which is wetlands, beaches, and rocky headlands. But we made a short stop on the way down in a most unassuming place. What could we be looking at there? And it took us about 15, and we found a bird called Peruvian thickney. When you see by the big eye, it's mostly up in the evening. We also saw several other species there. We walked through, that's the wetland reserve, and then the rocky headlands, and they all have different species of birds there. And it's amazing that the photos you can get off of Google Earth, because it showed you exactly where we were. While we were walking up, we had a flock of gray-headed gulls go by, and then we stopped here. And this wetland is basically, there's strips of water with sand dunes down the edges. But there's some pretty nice-looking birds to be found here. A little different than our meadowlark.
And you had to learn all the names, at least so you could tick them off.
I didn't. Oh. That's what you have guides for. Oh. I learned all the names of the pretty birds. But all those little brown ones, that's what I pay the guide for. It was generally always windy there. This is the group walking down to the next section.
So that's wind coming off the ocean?
Yes.
Were those natural?
Very similar to our redneck grebe here.
Mm-hmm. Are those natural wetlands or is that...
They were built, I think.
Okay.
Somebody heard a bird, and this another endemic, another brown bird, and I guess it gets its name because it came out of a little mine in the sand. Then we went from there to the headlands and saw this group of oyster catchers there. Mm-hmm. We have the black oyster catcher here. These are the ones that are found on the East Coast. But we were looking at this blackish oyster catcher and we noticed this line of red in the back. And it was crabs. The March of the Crabs. Very similar to the one we find on the coast here. But a little rusty on the back. Here we are back at the hotel that evening, and we're going to go for our first group meal. There were 14 people on this, plus the guides, which is a few too many, but we all got along, and everybody had a pisco sour, which is the national drink of Peru.
Were everybody birders? Were you all birders?
Yes. To do this, if you're not birder, you're going
to
be bored out of your tree. And you won't want to get up at 4:30 every morning.
What's a pisco sour?
That's a drink.
What is it?
I just drank them.
You just drank them.
So this was it was 11 days, and we crossed several ranges of the Andes. The scariest bus ride I've ever been on in my life. We flew, so we first landed in Caramaca, and the different colors designate our when we got in the bus and went. Many places we stayed just one night. Several times we stayed two nights. In Tarapoto we stayed 3 nights. So after our flight up to Caramaca, we still had time because it was early. So initially we went northeast, and then we went southeast. And you see all those little squigglies there? The roads aren't straight there. To get any place, and you see these. As the crow flies, it wasn't very far. But later you'll see why that is like that. Lots of switchbacks. This is our transportation for the 11 days. And we did have a difficulty one day, which you'll see. Similar to our flicker here. Basically, we drove up this road with a creek going down. And a lot of these places have their own set of birds.
Sound like a different tit spine tail.
South America has the greatest names: tree hunters, stream creepers,
metal tail.
There aren't very few hummingbirds that have hummingbird as the last name. This hat that's on this fellow, that's only found in this region. I think I saw 6 different flower piercers. This is very much like our junco in look. This is on our southern trip. And this is our little crew, and I've boxed in these people here because the infrastructure in some of the places we're going, you couldn't stop at a restaurant at lunchtime, there wasn't a restaurant or breakfast, so we had a van with 2 cooks and a bus, that's our bus driver. But the van had the 2 cooks and of course the van driver, and they would go ahead and set up either breakfast or lunch.
Wow.
Dinner we always ate at where we were staying. And that's the crew. We've got this woman here was from Toronto. Nancy's from Prince George. This was the fellow connected with the Peruvian outfitter. This is Chris Charlesworth, who owns the thing. This was our guide. There's yours truly's there. And we had people, I think they were from Vernon, and Nacusp, Winnipeg, and Kelowna. So we had a good... And this was our first lunch.
Lunch here.
It was hot right then, too.
Well, we have the most fun.
And there aren't any toilets. Very few toilets. So the ladies find bigger bushes than the guys. There are some stunning hummingbirds there. The food was excellent.
What a surprise.
Another round of pisco sours at night. The food was excellent for the whole trip. So our next day was going from Caramaca to Celandine. And Celandine is not a place that many tourists go. It's 120 kilometers. And there's the elevation up and down. That's about the highest we got, was 12,000 feet. When I was in Ecuador, we got up to 14,000 feet. The one thing about all these Peruvian towns, they're very, very clean. And they all have a town square with a church. Even Lima has one, all their town squares have a church involved sometimes. This is a typical farm building. And we asked why they all had these strips of rocks like that with spaces in them. And we were told that they have so many earthquakes there that it prevents the house from going in. It collapses outwardly. That's what I was told, whether that's the truth or not.
So this is a house?
This is a house. Yeah, we saw real Peru, you know, with no tourist places other than Lima. And this was the terrain through this stretch. Typically, the bus would drop us off, and it would go ahead, and we would walk to it. These we found. We got a flock of. You can see a cow in the background. They were. I guess the cows might have been stirring stuff up, and they were picking over where they'd walked. Again, this is drop us off, and we'd walk a kilometer or two.
So all the calls are different, and you've got the guide to tell you.
Yeah, the guides know the calls, and that's in birding. You find more birds by hearing them first. And after you get good at it, like Elsie can most likely make a walk through the woods, and we don't have to look at what's there. We basically know what's there because most of them sound very, very different. There are a few that can get tricky. This shining sunbeam, I've seen this in three countries. And I never knew that it looked like that on the back. Because every time I had a look at it, that was covered up. But I found that picture online, and it explains why they're called sunbeams. Because I've never seen that in the wild. They're just a brownish bird, and I always wondered why they call them sunbeams, because they certainly didn't look like it. So here was I think this was breakfast. No, this was lunch. But every time we had a lunch stop, we always took time to go birding.
So did you mark things down as you
Yeah,
saw
I made
them?
Big checklists, and I would mark them off. I had a different one for every day. And I pre-investigated what we were going to see or hope to see. So I made little booklets up. Mm-hmm. I used to be in the printing business, so I got free paper in that, so. And I had them stitch them up and fix them up for me. So I would just mark them off, because if you don't, at the end of the day, you can't remember. And two birders never have the same list, because we sometimes get flocks of birds, and they'll be different, two or three different types. I may see three of them, and I miss the other one, and vice versa. But at the end of the day, we always went through what the group had seen. I forget what that was, a grosbeak, I think. So this is the road along the mountainside, and every once in a while they'd stop the bus and make us get out. Let's call our safety walk. So you can see what the road is like. It's sheer rock up one side and sheer down the other side.
Some perspective on this road.
I had my eyes closed. When you meet somebody, biggest guy wins. This was the hat that was native to that area. And what happened, just as we got three doors from our hotel, our front tire blew up. We could smell brake for an hour. And what happened, I guess the brake seized up, and then the tire got so hot that the tire blew up. The fortunate thing is, for 10 minutes before this, we were behind a funeral procession. I could have can't imagine what would have happened if that tire had blown. They most likely would have dropped the casket. But I thought, well, now we're going to have to bring another bus in. Not so much. Within an hour, they had that fixed, new brakes on.
My dad would have a fit. He's
There's the mechanic car.
I just can't believe that it popped right here. I mean,
how lucky we were.
I just can't believe that.
Yeah, that happened way up on the mountain. I wouldn't be giving this presentation. This is the town square, and we were the people everybody was looking at. Because they didn't get a lot of birders. And this is the front of most of the hotels there. Very plain, but inside there's usually an inner courtyard. And the rooms are quite nice. They're nothing extravagant. Most don't have Wi-Fi. But you can live without that for a while. And then next morning, because we only stayed one night, Celandine to Limabamba. And it's a long, squiggly line. This river drainage has a lot of endemics. Birds that are only found in this river because they've got parts of the Andes on both sides. So the birds don't mix with other birds. And in the bottom right here, that's at the bottom, and it's down, 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 and then up, up, up. The trouble is, I know that we're going down, you got to go up. And my friend of mine, who isn't frightened of heights, and I was on the window side, every once in a while I'd say, "Hey, Larry, you can look now." And I'd look out and it'd be, phew. So after a while I didn't trust him. I just never looked. This was a pretty gradual up and down. This is leaving town.
How big a town is this?
I couldn't tell you. Not big. And this is why it took so long to go anyplace. You can see the road winding up the...
Wow.
And then
That was the road you were going on?
Hmm?
That was the road you were going on?
Yeah. So here we stopped. He was checking the brakes to make sure they were good. And we spent a few minutes... This was breakfast. Then we heard a noise way up in the sky. And there were some birds. These are actually fairly common there. Black-chested buzzard eagle. Here we stopped because we found two things. We found a flock of parrots that were very difficult to find. We lucked out. Then we found an owl. Here's a lot of the flora that we went through. Very dry here. And this is at the bottom with a river. This river goes into the Amazon eventually. And while we're walking across the bridge, of course, we're always looking for birds, and we found this little beauty. This was our lunch stop, and again with the rocks and the holes there. This was fairly warm here too. It's a beautiful butterflies there. That's the vistas you had to look at. This was our longest physical drive. This was up to Owlet Lodge, which we stayed at for three nights. And we had some really sharp ups and downs here. This was taken off my GPS. And if that's right, they were some pretty steep climbs. And I guess that's right here, these ones. Again, a very modest place to stay, but with the inner courtyard. And we had breakfast at the lodge. Very narrow streets there. Then we went to this residence that had hummingbird feeders set up. And we spent an hour or so there. These are some of the stunning. Some people went away from birding and went to the museum that was there. And this is basically filled with artifacts from a race of that's now extirpated, Chachapoya. And I've seen pictures on programs on TV that were I know the pictures were taken right here. But this is what they did. When the people died, they would put them in these containers and put them way up on the mountains, so nothing could get at them. So what's happened over the years is this museum has, because these things they deteriorate, they don't last forever. So they've taken a lot of the mummies, because they mummify them, and taken them and put them in this museum.
So are those clay pots? Clay pots?
I don't know what they're made of. I don't think it was clay. I have seen some of these pictures online. Then we got back and we're going down a river valley while we're on our way. If you ever look this bird up on the internet, the picture will be almost the same. Every time we saw them, it was in the middle of a considerable flow of water. We were lucky enough to get
male, female,
and some ducklings.
So what difference?
How they can swim around in that water was beyond me. And we stopped at this one place, and everybody's looking in the scope there, because there was a pair of owls there. These are well-photographed owls. If you do any searches from other groups, most of them stop there. I don't know whether they're still there or not. But then there's a bird we heard a lot, but actually never seen, which is not uncommon. Antpitas are very skulking, very secretive. This is a burial site that's still up on the mountain. And I took the next pictures through my scope.
Oh. It's amazing how they get up.
Yeah, a lot of effort. So one of our stops was to see one of the most interesting hummingbirds in the world, the marvelous spatula tail. It's only found in a very limited range in Peru.
Hopefully we'll see the spatula tail.
That one doesn't really do it justice. We did see a male, but this is what they look like. The big ornate feathers coming out. And most tours in Peru, if you're in the northern half, they're going to stop there. And there were some other hummingbirds there, too. Owlet Lodge was made to protect a very rare owlet there. One of the birds we saw on the way up. A lot of beautiful tanagers in South America. This was our meeting room. We ate all our meals here. Stayed out of the rain several times. It did rain here a couple of times, but we didn't have much rain. And these were our quarters. Everything's built. All these lodges are built out of cement. And everybody sat around and watched hummingbirds coming into these feeders. You can see all the different names for hummingbirds, Incas and Pufflakes and Star Frontlets. And a lot of the places you go will have a fruit tray laid out, and they put bananas and oranges and that. But when we got there, they had that tray, but they never had any fruit in it. And we said, well, why don't every other place has a fruit in it? He says, well, if we put it in it, this weasel-like animal will come and get it. So we said, well, put some stuff in it. Sure enough, 10 minutes later, it was there.
So what was the fruit tree for? If it wasn't for the weasel?
It was for tanagers, and the birds would come in and eat them. This every night, we had the next morning, we did a plethora of moths. They would leave the lights on, and all the moths would come in. And when you get up in the morning, a lot of them were still there. This is just a small sampling. There was dozens and dozens of different kinds. The one with the big eyes is called an owl moth. Next day, we got up as usual before daybreak. And they had, a lot of these ant pits, as I said, were secretive. Well, they've learned down there from a fellow that was in Ecuador that if you habituate them to come in and feed on worms and that, if you sit around quietly, they'll come out and feed. Because that's basically the only way you're going to see them other than a small blur going through the underbrush. So it's a big thing in South America now for a lot of the farmers to get these ant pitas to come to the feeding. There was one in Ecuador that I think was the most photographed ant pita, giant ant pita. He was the one that started it all. This is a typical walk through the jungle. They call it a forest. They don't call it a jungle.
Xenops.
There are more than a few Xenops. There's not a lot of them, but that's one of the more brightly colored tanagers, and that's found up in Ecuador and Peru. Not in Central America that I'm aware of. I've never seen one there. And you had a bit of climbing. These trails weren't nice and flat. You had to walk down and walk up. And there's three different flower piercers.
It looks like a jungle.
Well, we call it a jungle. Like, to them, it's a forest.
Oh, there's a brown beaver thing.
A tree runner.
Do the local people have names in their own language for these birds?
Yes, a lot of them they do. And there's obviously Spanish names, too. Some of the people, not me, went to look for the owlet.
We have Peruvian.
I heard it was a long walk down.
Peruvian guy.
And you had to walk back.
And
up,
we're going
and it was
to
raining.
See the long whiskered owlet, right?
They started in the daylight, but they didn't end in the daylight.
There was a
and
slide
this trail
15
had,
days ago.
Had a slide a few days before that.
Who's taking the pictures, or is this just at the start?
Liz.
Whoa, doesn't leave as much.
She's obviously not. I haven't seen her other than in the big picture. And this is the bird they went down. And they did see it. That was taken by one of the people. Now, Glenn Bartley, who's a very famous photographer, he was there 2 weeks later and he took this.
That's beautiful.
His pictures are better than ours. But then he's a professional. So the next day we took the bus and went downhill. Looking for a few specialty birds. It's a quetzal, another flower piercer. This is one of the birds we were after. main goal is this bird. It has, again, a limited range. It never looked like that. It was an overcast day, and it was just...
Was black?
Just black. This was a tower they had there. And that gets you up to canopy top. When we get to Brazil, you're going to see a canopy top. That's beautiful. A lot more beautiful tanagers. That's a flycatcher. Then we went from the lodge down to Rioja, where we stayed a few days. Now we're starting to go downslope. The elevation is going down. But we're still at 2,600 feet, so it's... This was us starting out in the morning, generally in the dark, our coffee. This was a very, very birdy area we went through. And the next bird you're going to see is, to me, the most extravagant tanager there is. I haven't seen one better looking than that. It's quite striking. Now, even this tanager, this has different variations depending on where you are in South America, because colors change a little. But it's still the same bird. A lot of birds have ant in front of them. Ant shrikes, ant wrens, ant birds. And they don't eat the ants. They follow the ant, those army ants that go through the jungle, the forest. And it spooks up all the insects. So they're there to catch all the insects that are fleeing for their lives. A lot of people think they eat the ants, but they don't. Golden tanager is a very common bird in northern and south America. And here we're stopping for breakfast, and somebody saw this bird fly across the road.
Well, I have seen that in pictures.
I had seen them in Ecuador at what they call a lek, where the males would, and we had to get there before daylight, and you could hear them calling. And a female come in, and they'd be dancing all over the place. Gorgeous birds. And that's not Photoshop. That's an actual sign.
That's pretty steep.
And it's maybe a little exaggerated, but not much. We spent a lot of time looking for this little bird. He would never come into sight.
Savage tanager you like the best.
Yeah.
And there's still lots I haven't seen.
Oh, wow.
I haven't been to Brazil yet. That's where their batch is. We did stop at this, it's actually a little tourist resort that they had there. We were told they used to raise tilapia or something there, and they changed it into this resort with trails through the. There aren't a lot of different vultures in South America. We went down to the edge of the river, and then we saw some woodpeckers up in this tree.
Oh.
And that's got to be one of the most striking woodpeckers. And there was a family of them there. Then we went to our hotel, and it wasn't all that extravagant. Again, this is... the main means of transportation in a lot of these places. I'm sure that every kid in class has an uncle or a dad that runs, that's a cab driver, and that's these little tricycle things, and they're everywhere. Mm-hmm. But again, when we got up early in the morning, there were people sweeping the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Very clean. But there weren't any elevators, so you had to hoof it up the three flights of stairs. Lucky us, we got on the third floor. We spent a couple of nights in Rioja. And we would generally go to this orchid garden, Wiganki.
How do you pronounce it?
I'm saying Wiganki, but I could be wrong. And we would walk up to this observation tower, and it was had hummingbird feeders all around it. The trouble was you didn't know which one to look at first. And it gave a great view down in the valley, too. Here's the group. Tough to catch them. Seen that one. There are several more. Now, I think the next one's a video. And one of these hummingbirds you'll see at first go behind the feeder, and then another one comes out that's different. I think it's here. Yep. Starts out with that one, and then comes a different one. There's the dude.
So amazing.
White-necked jacobin is a fairly common bird in South America.
So the neck is blue.
There, let it go. It's
oh,
on the back. This is when we went through the orchid gardens.
Mm-hmm. So they have these set up so that the tourists will come to that stuff. Look at these. They're gorgeous.
This one is called Lion's Mane, I guess because of the... Then we did some birding in the afternoon and out in the flat, out in the flat part of it. Where we really dropped down. We're down to 600 feet.
And that was up?
Down to Terrapoto. Well, again, we started that morning with at the Orchid Garden. This time we walked the trail through the forest.
So I'm wondering about migration, because some of our birds go to South America for the winter.
Yes, we did see prothonotary warblers.
You did see some North
Cape
America.
May, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But do these birds migrate?
No.
They're just there.
There's no reason for them to migrate. Mm. This was a fellow cutting some small trees, and he was sharpening his machete along the shoreline. Then on our way, we went across this bridge and pulled over and wondered why we were stopping. And we saw a white-eyed parrot, but that really wasn't why we were stopping. We were stopping to see a bird that most birders want to see, and that's an oil bird. Strictly nocturnal. And you find them in caves or in these dark crevasses.
Is something you heard of?
Mm-hmm.
The driver knew where to look? The guide knew where to look?
Oh, yeah, they did. They have all this stuff staked out. Then the place in Terrapoto was like a Mexican four-star. It was kind of nice there. Very tropical now. We're not in the Amazon yet, but we're getting close. This is a bird that had a nest in the tree. Very striking bird. And we started out the next morning, but the fog forced us back down. We're going to go up higher. There's a whole different... When you go up in elevation, you have a whole new suite of birds. some, and that's the problem with global warming is, as the temperature goes up, these birds, once they hit the top of the mountain, they're gone. They're forever. This was a, well, actually one of the birds I liked the most, the water guan. It's like a big turkey sitting up in a tree. We did see both of these owls. Later on, there'll be some owls that we heard but didn't see. And that's what you hear at night there. Hear the background? Except I missed some because I hadn't gotten hearing in the show. The next day we went and birded down the Rio Mayo. I don't know where this one ends. It most likely ends up in the, most of them end up in the Amazon or a tributary thereof.
But you're only 600 feet above sea level, and the Amazon's got to go 1,000 miles?
Yeah, well, we'll get to the Amazon, yeah.
Where they can take boats right up to the far.
They do. Yeah. When we got to Iquitos, when the high water comes, they take ocean-going ships that far up. Mm-hmm. We saw a flock of these comb ducks. The red-capped cardinals can be found in some of the southern states now, Florida and that. So this was our last evening there with another pisco sour. And the next morning we got up and took a flight from Tarapoto to Iquitos. Said our goodbyes to the driver and the guide, as we had a different guide in the Amazon.
It's the same company you're dealing with.
Yes. This was our guide while we were in the Amazon. And what we did is we took a boat ride down the Amazon for about an hour. And these boats move along very quickly. So Iquitos is not a small place. It's 600,000 people. One of the problems here is it's drug problems. Coming out of the they produce them out of the jungle and they bring them into town. It was a scary place. I wouldn't have wanted to stay there. But we left from the airport and then went down to the wharf, which really wasn't on the Amazon yet, but it was a backwater. And then we took the 1.5 hour boat ride down to Explorama Lodge. And the one in the top, Explorer Napo, that's where we'll be going. And you can see here that this is not the Amazon, this river here. That's the Napo, which starts out in Ecuador. But it almost meets the Amazon. It's our little speedboat that'll take us downriver. This was our first Amazonian bird. I think it was 50 miles down the Amazon for the first stop. And that's the Amazon. The one thing in the Amazon is that nothing stays the same. Those shorelines come and they go. And in the Amazon, there was always this floating vegetation. And I was told what happens at high water, these go into the jungle, when the water goes down, that they would root. And that's how most people get up and down the river. This clip from Google Earth is in high water time, because the river you can navigate it in high water, but we had to walk in 20 minutes. And that's how far up But when the high water comes, it almost gets to the top of us. We didn't have to carry, we just had to carry our knapsacks. They had
to see if we're in shape.
Quarters to take our luggage and that. But it's hot there and humid.
We're almost making it here.
And there was a little pond up there, and they had these giant water lilies, which I'm sure everybody's seen in National Geographic. It was kind of neat to see them in person. And there was this little shorebird going along this shore. And then the trees, there was this big sock-like nests hanging down.
There's a nest?
These things here.
And they're nests.
They're nests, yeah. These here. There was two birds using. Actually, our orioles here make nests similar to that, but about a tenth of the size. That was one of the birds that was there. The other was the Alarum Cacique. Here we are heading off through the forest. And a lot of the parrots you see there are flying by at 30 kilometers an hour, and you hear them squawking. But the odd time you get them, they'll perch. And a lot of the different varieties have this red patch, and vary. Some will have it up here, some will have it here, further off, down here. The guides know what we're looking at, but there's so little difference, and they're flying so fast, though. And they could bluff us if they wanted. We'd believe them. This is a fairly large resort, as you can see, but we were the only ones there. They say in tourist season, for the locals, because some of the locals come here, that place is filled. These were some camp hangers on there, the Scarlet Macaws. And we were as far up there as you can. Now this is kind of neat. This bird was another one of the camp followers. And here's my buddy Brian showing this bird where he is in the grand scheme of things.
Now we have a beer-drinking parrot, thanks to Brian. That'll shut you up. Probably want a cerveza.
That's called a walking palm. They don't really walk, but they can shift by throwing out more things and pulling them. They can't move too far, but I've read up on them a bit, and nobody seems to agree why they do it. Because they're not moving any extreme distance. Now, they tell you always to check your shoes in the morning. Now, if anybody doesn't like spiders, close your eyes. Because he checks his shoe. Found a pink-footed tarantula. And we had mosquito nets. I never saw a mosquito. Everybody thinks it's the jungle, you're going to be eaten alive. In all the places I've been, the only place I really got bitten by mosquitoes was in Bogota, on a golf course on the last day we were there. And I wasn't playing golf, we were looking for a bird. Mm-hmm. I got eaten alive there. But other than that, I never got stings from wasps and stuff. And I've never seen a snake there. Because all the people say, what about snakes and that? I've touched wood, never seen one yet. They're there though. And there was no electricity there. And in the morning we were heading out because we were going to take a boat across to an island. Kind of a neatly colored lizard. That's Kathy Antonazzi's hand.
It is it?
Yeah.
She's not scared.
Braver than me.
all the way back down the stairs.
And then we went into these small boats, which we're going to travel down the Amazon a little further. We just went slowly along here, and we're looking at the birds. And we did get to the island, and the day before, the workers there had gone and chopped a trail through the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see this, how it's dark there? That's the height of the water in high water times. Because I asked him, I said, why is that dark? He says, that's where the water comes up to when it's rainy season. This wasn't the rainy season. It's one of the birds we saw in there. And all these islands, the islands change in age. There'll be 10-year islands, 10-year-old islands, 20-year-old islands, and they all have different, depending on how old they are, they have different vegetation on it, and they have different suite of birds on it. Never seems to have waves on it. I never saw it. And when you see some of the dugout canoes, there's only like 4 to 6 inches of clearance from the top of the gunwale to them. Similar to our yellow-headed blackbird. Different caracara, the one we saw before up in the mountains. This was a little... And here we've... The famous Amazon pink... The pink dolphins.
Oh,
I almost got heat stroke. The lady said to give me their umbrella.
The
I was about dying.
It's a pink.
But there were 4 nurses on the trip, so I never.
I got that one.
Then the next morning we went from the lodge up into the Napo. And that was like another hour and a half. But in the Napo, there was none of that floating vegetation that I showed you before. There isn't any there. That was a boat returning from the lodge we were going to.
They're going to your own lodge?
They're going back, either back to Iquitos or to one of the other lodges. There's 3 lodges run by the same company. This one we didn't have to walk into. This river here was deep enough that we could navigate it up to the lodge. This was a lot more rustic than the first one. Beautiful butterflies here. And that's my buddy Brian. He's looking there. Somebody had found a sunbittern sitting up in the tree. And we had a purple-throated Katinga fly across.
Are these your photos?
I had 1,500 photos to deal with, or to choose from. Because every photographer that was on the trip sent me their pictures. So I had a huge amount of... Now, these plaques were hanging up there, and the tradition was that a group that came there, they had to make one up. And Chris was the one that made ours up. To hang up on, I'm sure at some point they start culling them. But this was ours. Do you know Chris Siddle? Well, he's the joker, doctor of proctology. He puts on there. He isn't the doctor of proctology. But all of us on the trip signed our names on it.
That's not her name.
There are no roofs. There's a roof over your thing, and there's nothing at the back except for those curtains. So you're open. And these are the washrooms. So you had washrooms and showers were down. No, pardon me, the showers weren't down. That's just the washrooms. So in the middle of the night, I was accused of taking shortcuts, but one morning or one evening, one of the women met me coming out of the washroom, so I was vindicated.
Yeah. And there aren't scary things on the pathway in the next
No,
room?
I never saw anything scary other than maybe some of the people.
You didn't look, Elsie.
Okay.
First time I saw this butterfly, I couldn't believe it. It just looks like somebody made it. It looks like some kid painted it and cut it out of a book. But they were attracted to the salt because that's the wash basin was there. So the next morning we got up before daylight and we had to hike 40 minutes to the canopy walkway. One of the birds we saw on the way. I'm afraid of heights, but I'd sucked it up because if you didn't, you weren't going to get to where we were shooting for platform 6. It was the guy telling us the do's and don'ts of going up the walkway, and that's where you went.
Oh.
You just kept going up and up and up. And at one point in time, I was carrying a scope, and people would get on that while I'm going across, and I got to hold on to the rail, hold on to the scope, and hold on to me. And I said, nobody gets on there until I get to the other side. But here, 118 feet.
That's to prove.
And all of those things are just aluminum ladders with a plywood, but it's cables that hold them up. Mm-hmm. And when you're up here, you're right with all the birds going through the canopies. It's about what you see, but they keep going. And they posed for us pretty well. But you see these insects, those weren't mosquitoes, they were wasps. Kathy got bit a few times, I did. But they didn't bother some people, but some people they did. Mm-hmm. That was the only annoying insect that we had the whole trip. This lizard had just been found by science about 10 years before this. They lived their life totally in the canopy. They never go in the ground. This is us leaving. And we stopped for a beverage break at this out camp.
Very hot by now?
Yeah, it's always hot there.
Always hot.
You have a shower and you're just as wet going in as coming out. Now this is an insect someone saw. Looks like a leaf,
yeah.
But if it's frightened,
oh, my goodness.
It pops over.
That is awesome.
These were some of the mammals that were around the feeders. This got lots of oohs and ahs from the ladies. All the little pygmy marmosets. Now these are owls we heard but didn't see. I saw one of those in Panama. Very similar to our screech owl. Mm-hmm. The next morning we went to this island's only about 10 years old, so different set of birds. And again, the workers went out and chopped a trail through the...
And I suppose it grows right back up again, eh?
Within a very short time. Mm-hmm. Most guides, when you're there, they have a machete with them if we're going through them. Mm-hmm. We were lucky enough to see this kite fly over. As you can see by the shadows, it's early morning.
would be the temperature early in the morning? Was there much difference?
Still hot.
Still hot, yeah.
Not as hot as midday, but. Then we come back, and there was a few people didn't go with us on that trip. And here's that butterfly there. You can either call it an 89, because you can see 89. Or if it turns around, you can call it a 98. Now we're going upriver to do some piranha fishing. Lots of piranhas.
Why were you fishing for yourself?
Just because. How many people fish for piranha? No.
She caught.
Her and I caught two.
And what'd she do with them?
Throw them back.
Yeah, carefully.
We looked for this bird for half an hour. Then finally we took a vote. We did find it, but it was so darn hot. We all said, all those one in favor of going back to the lodge, and everybody put their hand up, because that's one of the... Next day, before we left, we went for a walk in the forest. These birds are not difficult once you find out where they are, because they move around a lot. But there's lots of different ones. And basically it's usually the color of the head. And this is us heading out, leaving. This is our last day here. Our last day sweating the Amazon. Priscilla and I found this. Nobody else saw it. A lot of them went for a hike, and we stayed back. It's quite an attractive. That's only found in the forest.
You can see why they're hard to see. I mean, the forest is so...
Yeah, most times we didn't get good looks like this.
Somebody else got the pictures.
Somebody else spent hours getting the pictures. Now, Gary's doing something the guy told us not to, because bushmasters tend to hide in these little crevices, which is an extremely poisonous snake. Mm-hmm. So now we're back at Iquitos.
Barking.
We're about to head back to Lima. So we took a flight from Iquitos. You know, it's about an hour, I think. Should tell me here, but I guess it didn't. And then again, we got up early in the morning to go north. And as you can see, it's very arid. And there was a park up there that has specific sets of plants and birds. We went in two places. We went up here, and then we drove back down and come around the other way. This was the entrance, and as you can see, it's desert. Mm-hmm. Still birds in the desert. Burrowing owl. Huge range of a burrowing owl. Way down in Argentina, right up to Canada. You can see the way, this wasn't slowed down, so that's how fast the hummingbird's wings go. Thankfully, nobody asked me what that dove is, because I have no clue what it is. This was one of the lizards. It blends in quite well with the... Here we had a flock of this bird here, which is very difficult to find. but we lucked out. Then we went from there down to this other section here, and again, desert. No, I didn't know. Looks like the road to nowhere.
Yeah.
Why does the government make all those wonderful roads across nowhere? Do you know? Are there?
Well, because this is what you end up with, and I'll tell you in a second why. This place gets no rainfall. What it does is every day a mist forms off the ocean, and it comes in, and these plants capture the moisture out of the air. They get rain like once every 4 or 5 years, but other than that, it just strictly goes on the moisture and taking the moisture out of the air. And then we stopped here, and we had to walk down because buses weren't allowed down. I did a lot of walking on this. So we walked from here, all around here, basically to find a little brown bird.
Dad,
I wouldn't do it again. We almost had a mutiny near the end. But we did see some other stuff on the walk down. These were very strange. This looks to me like something in Halloween.
Oh, it must have had leaves at one time.
I never could find out, like, did they have leaves to begin with, or this is, they have leaves and then drop them. This is the bird we spent a long time trying to find. I wasn't impressed. Actually, Kathy found it.
But that's a nice call.
Yeah, it is. We were about ready to give up, and Kathy spotted it sitting on top of her. Now we had to walk from there all the way back up there. And then we're back, and we had a flock of pipits fly across our in front of the bus. And that's about the end of the birding. Now we took our day of tourist in Lima. Place they were digging out of the landscape. It's an old Inca thing. This was the main front of this church, which went back into the 1600s. And the catacombs down, bones. All the... Is Brian buying something for his wife? Hop on a plane and back to Toronto.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions that you haven't?
That's amazing.
Don't make them too hard, because I'll just have to fib. How many?